Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday in Phoenix. John Gambadoro and Luke Lipinski filling in for Bernsey today and tomorrow, right? You hit tomorrow, too?
I believe so. What's up, Gambo?
What's going on, Luke?
It's just a lot of sports and a lot of chaos.
You don't have a Tennessee license plate, do you?
I do not. I've never been to Tennessee.
Tennessee license plate, just check
no,
in.
Sir.
Jordan, Tennessee license plate? No? No, you don't have a Tennessee license plate, do you?
No, I do not have a Tennessee
Somebody
license plate.
Somebody with a Tennessee license plate?
Did they win something?
They parked in my parking spot today.
Oh, that's not... It's not winning.
Like they're in my park. I'm driving in, and Pablo works. He's like, yeah, man, I saw somebody in your spot like at 10 a.m. I was going to text you. I don't know if you know. Somebody parked in my parking spot.
So what did you do?
I parked next to it.
You took another person's parking spot.
I would have double parked them in.
And then I left a note on their car.
Ooh, what did the note say?
You're in my parking spot.
Dumbass.
It's 118.
You dirtbag.
Yeah. I thought about maybe spitting on the car or letting some air out of the tires.
Well, you can't do that now because you just told everybody.
I didn't. You know, maybe just a little elbow to the mirror on the side.
You don't want to do anything to the tires because then they can't move it.
Yeah, then they're permanently in your parking spot.
That's a good point.
Just, you know, a little mirror issue. Yeah, somebody parked in my parking spot. So, no, I just left a note on it, and I told building management and everything. So, yeah, but it's 118. I get it. People want to park in covered parking.
Well, that's a good idea. I'm going to park in your parking spot tomorrow.
Yeah, go ahead. Why not? Somebody else is.
Yeah, you have to fight off the people from Tennessee first.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Plus, that's a big parking spot to fit Gambo's limo in there.
It is. That's probably why they took it. They
maybe Alex Avila took your parking
probably
spot.
Probably said, yeah, this is a big spot. I mean, who would have
that's
a spot
right.
this big?
That's right.
All right, that is not what we are. What our top story of the day is. We've got a busy show for you in store today. Let's tell you what our top story of the day is.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
You know, it was no secret. I knew I had to be big tonight and got to be big going forward. It was just no secret coming into this. And, you know, I just first put faith in God, believed in myself. My teammates trusted me. T-Lou trusted me. And, you know, I thought we lived in a moment and we just played our hearts out tonight. T-Lou is trusting me in every situation. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, I learned from my mistakes. I'll get better along the way. But he's allowed me to make mistakes and grow from it. And he's done that all season long. And so he's continuing on to trust me. The team continues on to trust me. So, you know, I got to go out there. I got to play and just continue to be me.
All right, as we await the winner of the Jazz Clippers series, we are getting closer. We are. I mean, this series could be over tomorrow night. This series could be over. And then the Suns will know their opponent. Surprisingly, the Clippers, without Kawhi Leonard, went on the road to Salt Lake and beat the Jazz. So Paul George had a great performance. 37 points, a playoff career high, 16 rebounds, 5 assists. They won that game 119-111. The Jazz just couldn't get over the hump. They couldn't get stops at the end of that game. And I'll tell you, I thought another player came up really big for them. Reggie Jackson was good. Marcus Morris was good. I hate saying it because he's a bum. Reggie Jackson was terrific. I mean, he had 22 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, a couple of steals. Really down the stretch, he was fantastic. I mean, he kept hitting shot after shot after shot in that fourth quarter. I think he had 12 or 14 in the fourth. He was unbelievable. Taking some of the pressure off of Paul George, he was just great. And then, you know, Morris Sr., he's played well for them. I mean, he had 25 points. That's his postseason career high. So he played well, and the Clippers go on the road, and they beat Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and the Utah Jazz, and now they're one win away from advancing to the Western Conference Finals. I heard Vince Murata on my way in. Man, there's just no way the Clippers are going to get there, right? I mean, the Clippers last year, they blew a 3-1 lead. They were up 3-1 to the Nuggets, and they lost. And now without Kawhi Leonard, you would have figured the Jazz would have won at home. And then maybe the Clippers win at home, and then it just goes to a game 7. Look, Jordan, and I don't know if I believe this or not. Jordan said that was the best scenario, is that the Clippers won that game last night. We don't know if Kawhi Leonard is out for the playoffs. We don't know that yet. So I explain that to me because I was kind of hoping the Jazz would win last night.
Well, there's a lot of variants that can affect this, but just after that game last night, either for Game 6, the Jazz are going to come out like gangbusters and force a Game 7, or if the Clippers close the series out instead of only having 2 days and on Sunday flying up to Salt Lake to play the Jazz for game one, you're at least home here in Phoenix for game one on Sunday against the Clippers.
Yeah, but you take the chance that Kawhi Leonard comes back. I'd rather play the Jazz than the Clippers.
Would you really, still, even with no Kawhi?
No, if there's no Kawhi, yeah, I want to, but I don't know.
It doesn't seem like he's coming back anytime soon, does it?
I've read some stuff that kind of they think he may come back. So I don't know. I mean, we haven't heard anything that would say that he's out. I mean, like, they've hinted that it could, if it's an ACL or it's a tear, he's done, right? Yeah. I mean, we know he's done, but they haven't said anything yet. So, like, I'm still fearful of the Clippers if Kawhi Leonard is able to come back. Until we know for sure, I'm still fearful of the Clippers.
I think either way, though, last night was best case scenario because, look, if we get to game seven and Kawhi is playing in that game because it's the Clippers season, okay, well then maybe I don't want the Clippers. But Utah just doesn't look right. Donovan Mitchell doesn't look right. He was...
Yeah, so don't you want the Jazz? That's what I'm saying.
But either way,
look right. I want the Jazz. They lost at home to a Clippers team that didn't have Kawhi Leonard. I want the Jazz.
Yeah,
I want the Jazz.
But either way, you want it to go seven, right? Because that'll cut into Chris Paul's potential time missed. But Mitchell, particularly, 6 of 19 shooting, but 4 of 14 from three-point range. And you put that on top of some of his quotes after the game where he's like, yeah, I see the hole and I just can't get to it right now. So he was, 2 for 5 shooting just two-point baskets last night? I mean, that is a guy that has been one of the best in the NBA this year at driving to the hoop, and he's not even trying to do it. I guess I'm just approaching this with the thought that Kawhi's not coming back anytime soon. And in that case, I don't see Luke Kennard and some of these other guys on the Clippers being enough to beat the Suns.
Look, sprained knee, he's out indefinitely, you know, but if it's a sprain and there's no tear, he had, today is third. So he had, he had Tuesday off, Wednesday off, Thursday off. That's today. He'll have Friday off. He'll have Saturday off. If it goes seven, he'll have Sunday off. He'll have Monday off. That's seven. If it's a sprained knee and not a tear, he'll have seven straight days of being off if he doesn't play in the series.
I mean, this was a guy.
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm not a doctor, but this is a guy that when his last year with the Spurs, when he was hurt, he basically missed the whole season, remember? And he was kind of day-to-day for the last half of the season.
Yeah, but I think that's because he didn't want to be there anymore.
That's probably true.
I think that's why. I don't think he wanted to be there anymore. It's interesting. I mean, I'm watching that game last night, and I just don't know. I'm just like, okay, I guess in a way it's good because of the, you know, I would rather, if Kawhi's out and he's not playing, give me the Clippers.
Definitely. That's okay. Not even a debate, I don't think.
But if Kawhi's coming back, I want the Jazz.
Yeah, because they're beat up.
Even though you got to go on the road.
Yeah.
I
don't care about that so much.
I mean, they're good, right? I give them credit. They're a good basketball team. I think the Suns are better. If Chris Paul's back, I think the Suns are better. So that's the thing that we looked at last night. We just, you know, you watch that game. The Clippers stepped up. I mean, Reggie Jackson was great. The Jazz struggled. Donovan Mitchell's ankle, I mean, it's, you know, it just seems like it's getting worse. Like, it's not, like, he's got no explosion, right? He doesn't have no explosion. Now they're on the brink of elimination. And, you know, all these teams that are dealing with these injuries, it's like, you know, there's, you know, we always talk about the Suns' what-ifs. How many what-ifs are there in the NBA playoffs this year for everybody else?
I would say everybody except, Atlanta.
Right.
They're the only team that's not injured.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it. I mean, the Celtics, oh, man, what if Jaylen Brown didn't get hurt? The Nuggets, oh, what if Jamal Murray didn't get hurt? Whoever loses this series, oh, what if Kawhi didn't get hurt? Or what if Donovan didn't get hurt? I mean, the Lakers, oh, what if Anthony Davis didn't get hurt?
Yeah.
I mean, you are dealing with so many what-ifs in these NBA playoffs. There's like half the teams have a what if.
Well, the Nets and the Sixers, too. I mean, I know they're still in it, but if the Nets don't win the whole thing, they're going to wonder if it wasn't for Kyrie being hurt or James Harden being hurt. And the Sixers, I don't think they're blowing 26-point leads if Joel Embiid is healthy.
Man, that was crazy. I was just crazy that they lost that game. I mean, I'm rooting for Atlanta. I mean, I want the Hawks to win. That's a, you know, I think the Hawks is somewhat like the Suns, and like it's new and it's fresh and it's somebody to root for.
Yeah.
Like the Hawks, like, look, Trae Young's got a little attitude. You know, he's got nice, like, that team's pretty good.
They're a fun team, and they went out and got like 8 guys in the offseason, and somehow they've managed to fit them all together. Here, this, you mentioned Donovan Mitchell. This was his quote after the game last night.
Sucks. I ain't got nothing else to say. Like, you know, it's tough when you're trying different things that you normally do, and you see spots you can get to, but you can't. So you got to find a way to make it happen. It's tough, but I gotta find a way, otherwise I'm gonna be home. And, you know, I said it last year that we didn't do all this, and I said during the year we didn't do all this to lose in the second round, so gotta figure the out. Otherwise, that's it. Excuse my language.
You know, I keep thinking of when Shaq told Donovan Mitchell, "Hey, I don't think you're good enough to carry a team." I don't think you're good. He's like, all right. And now, like, if they go down here, I mean, you got to win that game. There's no Kawhi Leonard. You're at home. You got to win that game. Their role players didn't step up the way the Clippers role players did. And that's kind of why they went down. So now what we know the Clippers win tomorrow. The Suns are going to play at home on Sunday against the Clippers. At home Sunday against the Clippers if the Clippers win tomorrow. So that's a short turnaround for them too, right? They're going to play Friday night. They're going to have to travel Saturday and play again Sunday. And I can't imagine that Kawhi Leonard would be able to play Sunday. So even if Kawhi Leonard is able to come back in the series, and we just don't know, I highly doubt that he would be able to play on Sunday.
If that happens, we could have a game one without Chris Paul or Kawhi Leonard. Probably would have a game one without those
two
guys.
Yeah, unless Chris passes the two tests. We'll get an update on Saturday. And that's the thing. He just has to pass two tests, be negative with two tests, and there's a chance. I'm hopeful Chris Paul's ready to go in game one. I don't know anything outside of all the stuff we reported yesterday. I'm going to wait for the update on Saturday when the Suns give it out, because that's all we could do is wait for these negative tests and see what's going to happen. All right, we are probably about an hour away from being number one. Number one, all by ourselves, number one. We'll tell you what that is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
3-0 San Francisco, bottom three. Set the pitch. Flores in the air to right. That'll be deep enough to knock in the run. Reddick comes over, makes the catch. Yastrzemski tags and trots home on a sacrifice fly, and it's 4-0 San Francisco.
Oh, the Diamondbacks on the verge of losing again. They are down 5-0 in the fifth inning. Luke said something to me a second ago, and I'm going to let him. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true.
God, are you kidding me?
Zach Gallen's already out of the game, but he has the only hit for the Diamondbacks. The only hit of the game for the Diamondbacks.
The only hit by the pitcher who's not even in the game. This is beyond humiliating. I'm a Diamondback fan. I watch every game. I do. I watch every single game. Even when the Suns are playing, I end up taping the Diamondback game, watching the next game. I love the Diamondbacks. I want them to win.
Look at the sad fan faces on the screen right now. It was just grimaces by those two guys. I don't know if you saw that. Just like pain.
Was it two Diamondback
pain,
fans?
Yes. And one was wearing the new Serpientes jersey.
So he bought it during this slump.
He bought it in the last week.
Oh, man.
Last night was a chance to win a game and not be part of the record. They lost the game, and so they tied the record. A record that was set by in 1943 by the Philadelphia Athletics, and then in 1963 by Casey Stengel and Ed Crane Pull's Mets. The major league record for consecutive losses on the road was tied last night by the Diamondbacks in a brutal game. They've lost 22 straight. They've also lost 13 consecutive games. They are the only team in the last 80 years with two separate losing streaks of at least 13 games in the same season, joining the 63 Mets. They've been outscored 127-57 during this losing streak. I can make that 132-57 with the game today. Their last road win was 53 days ago. They've now been a part of seven straight series sweeps, the Diamondbacks. Man, you want to talk about breaking out the brooms, man. If you're playing the Diamondbacks, you bring the brooms. You bring the brooms if you're a fan of the opposing team, because the Diamondbacks, man, they get swept more than a diner's kitchen floor.
Wow. I'm watching this game right now, and just to illustrate how bad things are, the pitch from the catcher back to Riley Smith bounced off of his glove, and he had to trot over to shortstop just to get the ball back.
Yeah. they get swept more than a diner's kitchen floor.
That's a good one. I like that visual.
Yeah, you ever go to a diner, they're busy, people are dropping stuff all over? I just came up with that 2 seconds ago. That's why I had to say it again. Buster Posey hit a 3-run homer in the first inning. That was a 43-minute first inning, by the way. Merrill Kelly was out of the game after 3 innings. 85 pitches. He was pissed. I mean, dude, you threw 47 pitches in the first inning. 28 in the third. Like, you were done. Like, Lavello's like, after three, okay, you're out. You've got 85. He was upset. I get it. But, I mean, that's close to the most pitches ever thrown by a Diamondback. Ian Kennedy threw 50 in 2013. This new guy comes in. What's his name? Mella? Anybody
yeah,
say
no,
Mella.
No better.
That guy comes in. His second pitch, Duggar hits a home run. His eighth pitch, Wade Jr. hits a home run. I'm like, get this guy out of here. He can't pitch either. Man, the Diamondbacks can't find a guy to come up and can play at this level. They just can't find anybody that could come up and play Major League Baseball.
It feels worse against San Francisco, too. I know the Giants are good this year, but their lineup is not like a bunch of all-stars. It feels like the lineup of the opposing team in a baseball movie where it's just these kind of names, but they're all hitting home runs.
And, Wilmer Flores hit one last night. It's about to land in Phoenix today. Booked her. I mean, that guy, man, booked her. I made it 13-2. It is so painful. Do you guys watch a little bit?
Yeah, I was watching the I was watching the game where they were up 7-0, thinking, this is finally it, and then it ended, and I just remember feeling bad for like Brandon Webb and Todd Walsh and Jody Jackson and all the
and
people
Steve
that are there.
Steve Berthume and Bob Brenly and everybody that's got to look, they're gonna have it. Like they're not gonna they can't get a hit.
Yeah,
like they have
this
one
bad.
Hit.
Yeah.
That's a fair question. Should it be this bad?
No, it shouldn't be this bad. No. This is they still have a lineup. It shouldn't be this bad. Hold on. Remember the Suns loss in Brooklyn, 128-119?
Yes.
That's the last time the Diamondbacks won a road game. That was a while ago. So I looked. This stat blew me away. If you go over their last 41 games, that's not counting the way today looks like it's heading. They are 5-36 in those 41 games. That's a quarter of the season. That's not like a week.
Five wins in a quarter of a season.
That puts them on pace for a 19-win season out of 162
games. Does anybody
games.
Know how many games they're on pace to lose this year? So a way to figure that
overall,
out.
Overall, yeah, I can figure that out.
I mean, you figure that out, I'm going to talk.
Okay.
Look, Rojas has done an okay job for them. Okay, nothing great. He's done an okay job. I like Pavin Smith. Escobar, he hits home runs, but he stinks. Okay? Christian Walker, he's terrible. Carson Kelly, I like him. He's okay. David Peralta, he sucks. Josh Reddick, I'd rather play a young guy. Nick Ahmed, I like Nick. Can't play baseball anymore. Like, he just can't play baseball. He can't hit. I mean, he just can't hit. Like, Nick Ahmed can't hit. Like, where is, like you don't have a team good enough of playing. You go look at the rotation right now before Gallen came back. Like, Gallen's out. Bumgarner's out. Widener's out. I get that. Luke Weaver's out. But you're throwing these guys in there that shouldn't even play in the major leagues. These guys shouldn't be in the this pitching staff and this rotation. Most of these guys should not be in the major leagues, and they because of the injuries that they've had, they've got no choice. They got to play these players who like you tell me these guys that does Humberto Castellanos belong in the major leagues?
He does not actually, based on what I've seen.
I mean, JB Buscaskis,
eventually
Corbin Martin. Yoán López isn't on the team anymore. How about Seth Frankoff? He's hurt too. John Duplantier, he got sent down. Joaquin Soria? Like, I mean, listen, I know he was good at one point, but he's not now.
Well, do you need a closer if you're never in a position to close games? I mean, they've at least eliminated that position.
That's the question.
They're on pace if they lose today for 116 losses, but that doesn't seem fair because they've been so much worse lately. Like, there was a point this season where they were 15-13. So, like, there was a point where they were on pace for, like, 85 wins. So now it's like, it's not, but they're on pace for 116 losses.
I mean, Riley Smith, Matt Peacock. I mean, look at these ERAs. Kevin Ginkle, Stephen Crichton. This is not a major league roster. Like, it's just not. I don't know if they, and the other thing is, I mean, I don't know if they could trade anybody. Like, who are they going to trade?
Wait, you said they're on pace for 116
losses? Hold on. Yeah. There is another run for the Giants right there. There you go. A triple that just fell. You got to watch this replay. You got to watch. Like,
I don't want
to
see
Do we have to?
Just watch this replay. I mean,
he looks like he's in disbelief on third base right now.
This looked like Lupus from the Bad News Bears. I got it.
Oh, okay. So wait.
Yeah, watch this. It's a fly ball in the outfield. It's a fly ball.
There
you go. I got it. No, you got it. I don't want it. You have it. No, you. Let's just let it drop in for a triple.
So, but the overall
let it drop in. You don't need to get it. Let this guy get a triple. Let's see if we can lose 10-0.
Nothing seems to be changing as of right now in the front office or with the manager. But with this roster as bad as it is, you can't go out and just get 26 new players. So is going to happen? I mean, I know it's not Torrey's fault. I don't believe it's Torrey's fault. But does he have to become the sacrificial lamb? Because you got to do something. You can't keep this keep allowing this to happen.
I mean, it's going to happen no matter what you do. You don't have a major league team. Well, who are you going to put in there? Go get Casey Stengel from the grave. You're not going to win. John McGraw. Like, what? You take the greatest managers of all time.
Luke,
you want Walter Alston? You're not going to win. You're not going to win baseball. Nobody can win a baseball game with this lineup.
Luke, did you say 116 is what they're on pace for losses?
Yeah.
The D-backs franchise record is 111.
Oh, my God.
In the year 2004.
That's getting
so
shattered.
They could break a few records this year.
This guy, Kirk Casale, gets to go home and tell his family, I had a pop fly. It was a triple.
No, not only that, he has a home run and a triple in this game.
Yeah.
And you saw him rounding first base. He was laughing.
He's a catcher.
He's like he's a catcher that doesn't even hit. He's hitting 156 this season.
He hit a fly ball to the outfield, and the center fielder and the right fielder kind of looked at each other like, are you going to get it? No, I'm not going to get it. Are you going to get it? No, I'm not going
to
get it.
We laugh to keep from crying.
You want it? Yeah. Let's just let it drop in and let the catcher get a triple! A triple!
It's going to be tough to come back to because Zach Gallen's out of the game, so you're not getting any hits.
You might as well have let the guy get an inside the park home run.
Their best hitter is out today.
He is. They already took him out.
I mean, it's humiliating. They're getting, to Jordan's point, I understand maybe you got to do something, right? I mean, maybe a new voice can change things. I'm not a big believer in it. I kind of like Lovello as a manager. But I'm telling you, you're not going to win baseball games. You can't win with a roster that's half of these players don't belong in the major leagues right now. Some of them are too young. They need time to develop. They've been forced to come up and play right now when they're not ready. And some of these guys are... You know, look, I mean, Nick Ahmed is such a good defensive. It's hard to say this, but man, like you couldn't trade Nick Ahmed right now. He can't play. He can't hit.
No, but you would agree this lineup shouldn't be this bad. Again, if you go over the last 2 months,
go ahead, give me the lineup.
They're on pace for 143 losses over the last 2 months. That's miserable. Okay, so here's your lineup today. Josh Rojas.
Okay, he's okay.
Okay. Pavin Smith.
I like him. He's a young player developing.
He did just misplay that fly ball, though. Eduardo Escobar.
Okay, he's... He hits home runs, but he's terrible batting average.
Christian Walker.
He's terrible.
That's your cleanup hitter.
He's terrible.
Hitting 207. Carson Kelly.
I like him. He's a young, developing player. He's a first catcher. He's okay.
Yeah. He's actually good. We should give him credit. He worked a walk today.
Oh,
so
that's
he's been their best hitter.
What else you got?
David Peralta.
He's terrible.
Josh Reddick.
He's terrible.
Nick Ahmed.
Terrible.
And that's it. That's the end of the lineup. Pitcher.
You can't win baseball games. They're going to have this record all to themselves. The Arizona Diamondbacks. We'll play the breaking news sounder once the game ends.
That's going to happen during our show.
Breaking news. The Arizona Diamondbacks stand alone with the most consecutive road losses in the history of Major League Baseball. The history of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball goes back 422 years, and they're going to have worst record in the history of Major League
Baseball.
Seems
accurate. Yeah. Okay.
Can the Phoenix Suns survive a game or two without Chris Paul? There's reason to believe that they can. We'll talk about that next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Let's just let it drop in and let the catcher get a triple! A triple!
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, our Sanderson Ford poll question. They're on 51st Avenue in Glendale, America's most awarded Ford dealership. It probably is, do you think Italy is going to win, you know, the Euro Cup? I mean, that's probably what it is.
We're saving our soccer poll for tomorrow.
Oh. Okay.
I want to be here for that because I actually care about that.
Good for you.
Luke, who are you rooting for?
Italy.
Yeah!
I had great-grandparents on both sides that came over from Italy.
Forza Italia. Let's go.
Sure.
Undefeated.
Yes, we are undefeated. 2-0. Took down Switzerland 3-0 yesterday, baby.
I wish you could see the look on Sarah's face right now.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you two are so happy.
We are happy.
It's a big moment.
Got a hell of a team. We don't give up any goals, and now we're scoring.
Well, that's a good combo.
Yeah.
As far as I understand.
Yes. We have Wales next, I think so. Now, next match, I think, is Wales.
Wales is also undefeated.
Because it came out of Gambo's mouth, I definitely thought Wales, like the orcas.
We have Wales.
That you swim with?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
We own Wales now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking Wales. We're talking Gamba Dorca. Okay.
All right. What do we got on the poll question?
Okay. We are not doing a Euro soccer poll.
All right.
We're doing a Suns poll. And we are asking you guys for your confidence level in the Phoenix Suns if, and this is a big if, they have to play game one of the Western Conference Finals without Chris Paul. Here are the four options. Again, your confidence level. Your confidence level is, doesn't matter, the Suns can take anybody. I feel a little uneasy about them being without him in game one, but I still think they can win. They are SOL without Chris Paul, or it fully depends on who the opponent is, if it's the Jazz or the Clippers.
Uneasy, but they can win.
Okay.
I'm just going with that.
We're just talking about the next round, right?
Just game one.
Okay, so I'll say I think they're going to be either one of those teams anyway, so I'll say they can take anyone.
Okay.
But as long as that doesn't include Brooklyn, I will vote they can take anyone.
Well, yes, it is. Yeah, it's just this next round.
Yes,
yeah.
Then I'll say they can take anyone.
Okay. 57% of our voters said the thought of being without Chris Paul in Game 1 makes them feel a little uneasy, but they still think the Suns can win. 30% say it doesn't matter. They'll take anybody. And then we're in single digits for the other two. 7% said they're SOL without Chris Paul. And, it just changed a little bit. 6% said it depends on who the opponent is. So, a lot of confidence.
All right. You can vote on the Sanderson Ford Burns and Gambo poll by going on to Twitter, to the Burns and Gambo page. Let's see if we can... We got to get Sarah up to 16,000.
Let's go.
We got it. So what are we at right now?
I'm
looking at us. We need to add 50 followers in the next hour. Let's do it. Anybody on Twitter, go to the Burns and Gambo page and just hit follow. It's a very interactive page. It's kind of fun. You follow along. Breaking news is always on there.
Yep.
That we put on there. So
very active all day long.
All day long.
Over the weekends.
Even on the weekends.
Holler at us at Burns and Gambo.
Yeah, so we're looking to add 50 followers in the next hour.
Okay, so what happens first? Do we get over 16,000 on the Burns and Gambo account or this baseball game ends?
Don't even do
Not the streak, the game. I said the other day, completely joking around, who's going to win a game next, the Suns or the Diamondbacks?
Yeah.
It might be the Suns.
Yeah, how about the Cardinals or the Diamondbacks?
You said the Suns.
I meant it when I said it. I said it's going to be the Suns.
There was just so many games left to be played. You figured they'd run into one.
Nope.
When's football season start? Arizona opens with the Titans.
A few people responded the Cardinals are going to get a win before the D-backs, and that just hurt my heart.
It feels like it right now.
It's painful.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little Chris Paul right here on the Burns and Gambo show. Chris Paul... Look, I'm hopeful he's going to play, but there, people are starting to figure it out and speculate. Okay, what's going to happen if he doesn't play? Talking about what's going to happen if he doesn't play. The Suns have actually done a pretty good job when he's not on the court. They're outscoring opponents by 5.3 points per 100 possessions in the 168 minutes that he's been off the floor this postseason. So when he's off the floor, they're outscoring opponents by 5.3 points. They outscored opponents by 3.6 points in the regular season when he sat. They're actually doing better when he sits in the postseason than in the regular season. There's some thought that, you know, you can get by without him. Now, I don't think you could get by for a full series. But for one game, there is a lot pointing to, look, they could be fine without him for a full game. You put campaign in there and you just go. There's also the thought of, do you just change things up and maybe start Cam Johnson and maybe... just move things around where you've got a bunch of different guys starting at different positions.
I don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that either. You know, that would be Booker starting at the point, and then you can move McHale to the two, and maybe start Cam Johnson at the three. So there's just a bunch of different things. But that moves too many guys around. Cameron Payne's been good. I mean, he's averaging 21.4 points and 5.5 assists per 36 minutes when Chris Paul's off the floor. That's really good. His numbers drop dramatically when Paul's playing with him, of course, because that's what you would expect. So you could, you could keep Payne on the bench where he brings a lot of scoring punch, or you could have him start if Chris Paul doesn't play. And I think that's the things that they're probably discussing right now is what their option would be, and I'll see if I could find out. But again, we're hopeful that Chris Paul's able to play in Game 1, whether that's Sunday or Tuesday. We will know for sure tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we will know if there's going to be a game 7, or there's going to be a game 1 between the Suns and the Clippers. We'll know that tomorrow night if the Clippers win. If the Jazz win, the Suns will play on Tuesday. That's more time for Chris Paul to get through the health and safety protocols. But trying to decide what to do with Chris Paul right now is the tough thing for the Phoenix Suns.
I think, though, you hit it in there when you said, this team, I wouldn't be shocked at all if this team won game 1 without Chris Paul. This is a good basketball team. It's not just Chris Paul, but if you want to win the title, and obviously now you're in the Final Four, so you absolutely do, you're going to need Chris Paul to do that. That's not a slight on Cameron Payne, but I absolutely think the depth of this team and what they have gone through together, and if they know, okay, Chris Paul's probably not going to play game 1, but maybe he's back by game 2. I mean, the thing is, as unfortunate and weird as this is to have him potentially miss a game or two, it's not like he's hurt. Like Kawhi Leonard or one of those guys where they might just not come back. So if you're the Suns, you're like, we just got to get through a game without Chris Paul. I absolutely think this team could do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you wouldn't want to go a whole series without him.
No.
Chris Paul was arguably your best player in the Denver. He's been arguably your best player in the playoffs.
Yep.
So nobody wants to do without their best player. We've seen teams without their best players. It's hard.
It's everybody right now. It feels like it's everybody.
Everybody. You've had 8 all-star players that have missed games in the playoffs. 8 all-star players have missed games in the playoffs. So you're seeing what happens when teams. Now, last night, the Clippers were able to win a game without Kawhi Leonard. But for the most part, you struggle. You usually struggle when you don't have your key guy. So if Chris Paul misses a game, now if it's the Jazz and they don't have Conley, well then they're out a key player. If it's the Clippers and they don't have Kawhi, there, so it kind of evens itself out a little bit. But you want to win this series, and you don't want to take no. You want to get off to a great start. You want to win this series and get to the NBA Finals. And I think your best chance, everybody knows their best chance, is Chris Paul gets back in that lineup.
Yeah. It's going to be frustrating if they don't at this point, if Kawhi Leonard really doesn't play. Or like Utah, like you said, still no Mike Conley, and Donovan Mitchell doesn't look like Donovan Mitchell.
No, that ankle's really bothering him.
I will take the rest of the Suns over the rest of the Jazz or the rest of the Clippers. Win tickets to the first Suns home Western Conference Finals game in over 10 years. Just text TICKET to 620-620 for your chance to score the hottest tickets in town. That's TICKET to 620-620.
Another young star wants a new team. We'll talk about that next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. This is why we love Devin Booker. I mean, it is. It's being reported in New Orleans that Zion Williamson isn't happy about the state of the Pelicans. He might want out. They're dissatisfied with the current state of the team, particularly the losing. Most of the attention is a quote. Most of the attention, however, from numerous sources across the league is centered on Williamson's family members. This is from The Athletic. And whether those feelings seeped into the player's own views. He's talked about staying, which is Anthony Davis didn't stay and Chris Paul didn't stay. And those guys left without a single playoff series win on their resume. They left without a single playoff series win. They hired Stan Van Gundy, terrible coach. He got fired after 1 year because he's a terrible coach. And now they're going to hire a new coach and see if they could find somebody that could, because that's it. I mean, listen, Zion's not happy. Okay, the coach, you're firing the coach. You can replace the coach. You can't replace Zion. They're going to do what they can. And look, this is the way it is with star players. They just have this type of pull. But the Pelicans are terrible. They finished 13th and 11th in these last 2 years with Zion. So a lot of meaningless basketball games being played with this young star player.
It's funny. We talk about this, and the first thing that pops up if you Google Zion Williamson is how the Knicks could get Zion Williamson. And so I also just...
That's every star. It's always the Knicks.
Well, so
I read a story the other day, how the Knicks could get Chris Paul.
Okay.
I'm not even going to read it.
Well, because I also typed in Luka Doncic earlier because I wanted to get...
Say that?
First story from the New York Post, how the Knicks could get Luka Doncic.
I'm going to do this. How the Knicks can get...
You don't even have to type
Chris
in
Paul.
Knicks. Just type in the player's
How the
name.
Knicks could get Chris Paul. And there it is. Chris Paul trade rumors.
How many of
the
these players have the Knicks actually gotten? When's the last time they got one of these players?
Bernard King. No, I'm teasing.
It's been a little while.
Yeah, it just is. I mean, when was the last time the Knicks got guys? The year they got Larry Johnson, Chris Childs, and Allen Houston.
Okay. Well, they were supposed to get Durant. They
I'm
were
going
supposed
by
to
heart
get...
with that right there. Look, I'm not wrong. Larry Johnson, Chris Childs, and Allen Houston all in the same offseason.
So what year? That's got to be like late 90s?
96?
Allen Houston got like $100 million. I don't know. I can't remember the year. I used to be a diehard Knicks fan.
Yeah.
Diehard Knicks fan.
Oh.
That was the offseason. We thought we were going to win it all.
Yeah.
We were getting a championship.
And then how did that next season end? I don't ask sarcastically.
Allen Houston was good. I mean, yeah, but that was one offseason. They added 3 pieces right there. Chris Childs, okay. Larry Johnson, Allen Houston. Did you find it?
That was July 14th, 1996.
There you go, baby.
Wow.
That's the Knicks.
Well, it's going to pale in comparison to this summer when they get Kawhi and Luka and Zion.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a team.
Oh, did you say Chris Paul, too?
Well, yeah, that's implied.
Knicks free agent watch, Chris Paul. Here's another one. Knicks must go for absolute broke to sign Chris Paul. Why the Knicks should target Lonzo Ball over Chris Paul?
They got too many options.
Here's another one. Knicks could take advantage of Chris Paul's massive contract risk and opt-out scenario. Top targets top players to target. Chris Paul. Chris Paul to the Knicks, better late than never. The Knicks are rumored to get everybody, they get nobody. Let's talk about Zion and New Orleans. This is what I said about Book. Look, I mean, Book went through all that losing and never demanded out. You never read this. This story was never anywhere. This story in the New Orleans paper, Zion isn't happy with New Orleans. Do we have a story? Devin Booker isn't happy with the Suns?
No. And you know what story we had a lot was Devin Booker should be unhappy or probably is unhappy. Or Devin Booker to the Knicks. I saw some of those too. But it was never Devin Booker actually is unhappy. It never came from Devin Booker, which is why he's still here and the team is in the Western Conference
Finals. Or his family or anybody close to him.
Nope.
There was never a Devin Booker. And here we are 2 years into Zion. Zion is in the Times-Picayune, the top paper in New Orleans. Zion isn't happy with New Orleans. Here's why that's a good thing. And they just talk about what they could do. And, but Liz, you go one more year of losing like that, and you may risk this guy not staying there.
Yeah, look, I mean, he went 31-41 last year. You mentioned Booker was going through 19 and 20 win seasons that weren't his fault, and he stuck through it, and he went through multiple, not one. This was Zion's second year, and he was hurt most of his first year.
Yeah. Dave Griffin, who's a good friend of mine, he had Alvin Gentry that first year, and then they replaced him. They hired Van Gundy. He 8 months later, he's gone. They tried to build a roster that could be really good defensively. They got Brandon Ingram. They've got Zion. They traded Drew Holiday, and they got rid of Drew, and they ended up with Eric Bledsoe. Like, that was the big mistake. Yeah, Drew Holiday. Okay, you can't bring back Eric Bledsoe. Like, you can't. That was a disaster for Griff to bring back Eric Bledsoe. And so now they got to go hire a coach and, try to find somebody that could keep Zion happy and win them enough games to where the kid may want to stay.
It like you said, though, it just shines such a light on how fortunate how good of a pick Devin Booker was, but also how fortunate you are that he wanted to stick here through it and wanted to win as a Phoenix Sun. And, even to a lesser extent, since we're talking about a guy that just came in the year or into the league 2 years ago, I mean, Zion's been in the league less time than DeAndre Ayton. And not like DeAndre Ayton has been in position to complain over the last couple of years, and the team really hasn't been that bad when he's been here. But just to put it in perspective, this would be like a guy that was drafted after DeAndre Ayton coming in and being like, that's not good enough, I want out. Or my family doesn't like
right.
it.
Right, 2 years in and you're saying, yeah, I don't want... Yeah, that's what you respect about Book right there. That you've got a guy here that went through that losing and the losing and the losing and the losing. And what did he do? He trusted... And he signed a max contract. And they eventually started to get over the hump last year. They became respectable last year. And now they're winning. And now he is going to get enjoy winning for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Look, the Suns aren't missing the playoffs next year, okay? No matter what Chris Paul does, they're not missing the playoffs next year. And they're not missing the playoffs the year after that either. And they're probably not going to miss the playoffs the year after that. Like, if you said right now, I'd bet a car payment that the Suns make the playoffs the next 3 years. A car payment. With Mikal Bridges, Devin Booker, DeAndre, they're going to make the playoffs the next 3 years.
Yeah, the only issue is injuries, but even then, you have some depth.
Right. I mean, you got depth. I mean, you got a good roster. If you have Chris Paul, you don't have Chris Paul. This is a playoff team. Look, they were the second-best team in the West this year. The Lakers are getting older, right? I mean, how much more does LeBron have left?
Not enough to carry that group.
The Portland's dysfunctional. Dallas is dysfunctional. Like, so you got other teams. Like, I used to think that, can the Suns be better? Yeah, the Suns are better than Portland. Okay, they've blown by the Portland Trailblazers.
Mm-hmm.
They're by them. No, the Clippers are getting older. These guys aren't young. Paul George isn't young. So, you get to the point where you're like, okay, I think the Suns are going to be, not only that, I think they'll be a top four team in the West for a number of years, but at least a playoff team for the next three. I feel really safe saying that.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because you start to look going forward the next 3 years with some of these other teams. And I feel confident that the Suns are very clearly better than Denver, but Denver should be good. And Utah should be good.
Denver will be good.
And then after that, it's like, I mean, if Kawhi leaves the Clippers, they have no picks for the next 10 years. One of the teams you're looking at and saying, well, that team should be good is Dallas. And Luka's not happy. He's not like, get me out of here unhappy, but he's not happy with the way they handled Donnie Nelson. And it doesn't sound like he's happy with some of the people in the front office. And it's like any sort of rift that the Mavericks want to create for themselves, I have no problem with that. Right. Go ahead. Because that is a team that should be a top four team going forward, too.
Yeah, look, the Jazz are going to be good. Okay, with Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, they're going to be good, and that might be your, you know, that might be your toughest challenge going forward as the Jazz. I think, and I think the Nuggets with once Murray comes back, I think that those three teams are going to be your, like, it changes. I mean, Houston was one of those teams. Golden State was one of those teams. They're not those teams anymore, and we'll see what happens with the Lakers over the over the next couple of years to see what they end up doing. All right, a lot going on at ASU, and there is nobody better to talk about college sports in the Pac-12 than John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News. We'll talk to him next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.